Let's just continue to worship the Lord as we stand all over the building. Let's magnify the name of the Lord. His purpose is declaring itself. Obviously, there is a spirit of healing and resurrection of spirits. Father, we love you today. We magnify your name in this house. We are going to take this bread to the streets. We're not going to hoard it in here for a personal party. We're taking this glory to home and to the places where we go. Thank you for impartation today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. I bless his name among us today because he is truly worthy of all our praise. Several of you are here, and we are not going to take the time to mention everybody's name, but so great to see a lot of you at home. I tell you, I would like for you to be seated except Brother T. I tell you, this man, I've watched him coach basketball, and my wife and I have been impressed. I know there's been times when those players would have caused him to scream. And that smile you're seeing right there is what he manifests in a little bit more of a disciplined way sometimes. But last Sunday, he was baptized in the name of the Lord. And what a spirit has enveloped his life over the last, I don't know how many years, that God has been really leading him. But Brother Chad spent a lot of time and him together talking about the word. I'd just like for you to say a word. We're just glad you're here.
Way to put me on the spot. Where to start? The Lord has just been so good to me. I came to know the Lord when I was 21. I'm not from Paris, Texas. I moved here to play basketball for Paris Junior College in 2011. I stayed for some odd reason, and the Lord has just used me in youth ministry all over this town. The Lord has allowed me to build relationships and be relational to these young youth kids who are coming from broken homes. I've had the opportunity to minister with Young Life, and these kids have no idea who Jesus is. They don't yet alone have a father figure in their lives, yet alone they're coming from poverty. And the Lord just put on my heart. I prayed a dangerous prayer one time, and I'll never forget it. I said, Lord, give me a heart for your people. And he has never let that fire die down in my heart. And it's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster. I have seen the Lord work so many times in my life. My brother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He had neuroblastoma. And he was about 5 or 6 years old. And stage 4. So they were giving him 3 to 6 months to live. This was back in 2000. And at that time, they were still kind of experimenting a little bit with chemo and radiology. And I just remember praying to the Lord. And didn't know the Lord for myself. I knew about God. Now, how many of you know there's a difference between knowing God, knowing about God, and knowing God for yourself? Knew about God. Grew up in the church. My grandmother would just always say, if you need something, call on the name of Jesus. And for about 6 years, we battled that big fight of cancer. And the Lord delivered my brother into remission for about 14 years now. So I vowed to just give my life to the Lord and be sold out and give every inch of who I am to the Lord. And every day, it's a surrenderance. Lord, I'm yours. And I do it every single day. And I've just been so thankful to just have people in Paris just speak into my life and speak truth to me, encourage me, because we can't do this alone. We can't walk this life alone. We never will be able to. One of the things that Chad and I have been talking about pretty consistently is just isolation. There's things in my life that I've been dealing with that I've allowed the devil to isolate me. And when he isolates you, he's trying to destroy you. And that's a dangerous place to be. At some point, you're going to wake up, you're going to get up, you're going to walk around, and you're just going to ask, oh, how did I even get here? But I want to encourage you and tell you it's not too late. that whatever you're dealing with, that if you would confess to the Lord, that you would confess and turn away and repent of whatever it is, no matter how deep it is, that if you would turn away from those sins, God is worthy and he is faithful to forgive you of those sins. I don't know who that was for. I just pray that the Lord would just continue to use me, that he would use us, this body of believers who has just been incredible since I've been here the past 2 days, a couple days. And I just pray that you guys would step out on faith and believe God to be God and to do the big things God wants to do in this community, in this nation, in this church, in this country, for all the ones that are hurting. There are people and friends and family members that we know of that are hurting, and they need this hope that we hold, that we're coveting in a sense. They need this hope. Sometimes the only Jesus people will see is the Jesus they see in you. Keep praying for me, and I'll keep praying for y'all.
You know, I'd like for us to bow our heads and pray for the hurting people in our community and our families. God, we bring the blood of Jesus. We bring the name of Jesus. We bring the glory of the resurrection. And we bring the dynamics of your word that has handled years of torture. In Jesus' name, let the spirit of this meeting bring a salvation, a salving, to those that are hurting, brokenhearted, broken in so many ways. Could we praise him for just letting us pray prayers of honesty, integrity? Father, we thank you today for the ministry of your spirit. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Praise God. Brother Adams, I want you to come to the pulpit. I applaud this church for fostering people such as this. Brother Adams is a direct result of this church from long, long history. It is true that he has been influenced some by me. I hope part of it's been good. But the real truth is his grandmother, grandparents, they lived in this assembly. His mother and dad were an integral part of this assembly. And there were so many things that could have gone wrong forever. But the things that did go wrong, God has healed and corrected. And we are a grand recipient of that. We bring a man from this church to this pulpit. God has honored him with a real tremendous task. Of a storm hit the church where he now pastors some years ago. Not physically, but spiritually. And hurt and damaged lives here, there, and yonder. And God has sent him and Karanda there to bring healing. And they're already sensing many miracles spiritually. And what a beautiful thing. Would you stand and make welcome to this pulpit one of your own, Brother Craig Adams.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, church. Let the blessing of the Lord receive that. God bless you. You can be seated. I would like to say it is an honor, a great privilege to be home, and a great privilege to minister in this pulpit with my great pastor and this great church. Not only have my family, my grandparents, mother and dad, and pastor, brother and sister Meyer, instilled so much, but in this congregation there are so many of you that were an equivalent to the what has been processed in my life. And I thank every Sunday school teacher, every elder, every person ever spoken. I'm honored to be here today, and I think we need to, as Coach was giving us that word, I felt and inspiring the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that we need to receive that word that was spoken to us before we go any farther. Because there were some there was some impartation of the Spirit that came forth. There was some vision that came forth. There was some prophetic utterances that came forth that some lives were spoken into. And before we go farther, I want us to receive that. Amen. So let's receive it in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we receive your spoken word. We receive the ground that has been cultivated through the worship and the praise, things that have been spoken already in this service. And then those words that came forth, Lord, the speaking of the present ministry and the helps into our community here. God, lives that heard and felt that felt inadequate, that they'll receive that, Lord, and hold on to it. In Jesus' name. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. What would you feel this morning if our president were to have given a national address and said, tomorrow we are going into Israel and we're wiping them off of the map. We're going to partner up with those other enemies of Israel, and we're going to take care of this nuisance to society. Would that make us shout? Would that make us excited? Or did that thought, that even spoken word, cause something in you to cringe? And say, oh my, don't even speak of such a thought. It's because of our reverence to God, to His chosen people, that kind of emotion rose and surfaced in probably everyone here being a believer. And you cringed at the very fact that it would be spoken from this platform, such an idea. But yet daily, we see ourselves so much smaller than what we are. My commission this morning, what I feel directed, but not just directed, but commissioned by the Holy Ghost, is to speak to each one of us and help you to understand your identity before you leave here today. Because we live in a society that everyone in here is very much aware of the identity theft that goes on. You can purchase a wallet that has protection so that they can't walk by you and steal your identity. We live in a society that your computers are protected, your phones are protected. But we live in a spiritual society in our Christian world that the enemy has also stolen the identity of the church. My commission this morning is to help every child of God, before you leave here today, to have a fresh assurance of your identity in Jesus Christ. This week, a friend of mine posted there in the courtroom with the judge as they signed the adoption papers for their child that they had been raising. And they were celebrating that adoption. And with that celebration came from those parents a dedication, I know them, a commitment that what I have belongs to you. You've got a share of it. You may not have been born of my blood, but now you are. And my inheritance belongs to you. And can I tell you, as children of God, you're an inheritance. You are heirs of Jesus Christ. And before I finish this morning, I am determined and I believe in the Holy Ghost to help each one of us to understand the same feeling that rose up in you for the children of Israel with the idea of us joining and coming against them. It's the same spirit that our God of heaven has for his adopted children. You may not be Jews. You may not be in the blood lineage, but you are when you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he signed on Calvary for your life, you became heirs in Christ. And somehow today, I want to shake and move those that blurred identity of the church. Because God's got a mission for us to do that is far greater than we can do when we don't know who we are. He has victories in your life that far surpass what you would ever understand or estimate until you really understand you are chosen by him. The psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, Mary Adger, wrote this recently. This week I've been thinking a lot about the significance of identity. Identity is a grouping of attributes, qualities, values that define how we view ourselves and perhaps how we think others people see us. Identity can be formed from labels we place upon ourselves, the role we undertake, the activities we complete. I might see myself as a woman, a girl, a wife, a mother, an employee, but my identity is shaped for much more. My identity helps me to connect with others, my sense of self, my core, the sense of who I am. How do you lose your identity? Losing your identity, she said, can be a long process over a period of months and years, but can also happen suddenly following a major life event or trauma. Loss of identity may follow all sorts of change, changes in the workplace, loss of job or profession, loss of role that once defined us as a child, as a parent, as a spouse. This leaves a role that once defined us empty space. Such loss of identity can result in increased levels of generalized anxiety, low self-esteem, depression, a loss of self-identity, social anxiety, isolation, and chronic loneliness, all of which threaten our ability to connect with other people. So much more information she has listed, but for the sake of time, I want to move on, having hopefully to establish a need that, and we understand in our society now we have the option of birth to determine what the identity is of a child. Not its natural being, but what's its identity going to be? Will this be female or male? Nothing concerned with the makeup of the genetics of God. And it has moved into the society of Christianity. And it is so important that we understand who we are as a church. Amen. We somehow cannot let society rule and control the church and its power. Our resources must continue to come from the Word of God and from the Spirit of the Lord, not determined by our life circumstances. It has already been spoken. God is a good God, but sometimes a good God is changed when our circumstance happens. That change it moves us and it redirects us. It redefines our identity of how well I am pleasing God or how it is important that we understand that we are one of those children of God. That when we think of the enemy coming in and affecting our family, the effect that it has on God, somehow, before I finish today, I want each one of us to understand the things that come against you in life is not because of God is not good. It's because he's got a plan. He's got a big purpose. And as a general would send an officer or a military soldier in to do a task, God's got a task for each one of us to do. Our purpose is far greater than my home. Our purpose is far greater than my house. My purpose is far greater than even my immediate family. My purpose of creation is to fulfill a role that is bigger than this world. It's bigger than anything I'm involved in. It's something I'm working when I get over yonder for. And so there's no way that my thoughts can equal his thoughts. My ways could ever be his way. So I've got to submit. I've got to surrender to an idea that would be higher than mine, a way of thinking that I could trust. And with trust, I would step confidently in. And I would know that no matter what is coming my way, no matter what is coming against me, when hell comes again, there is a spiritual arousement. There is an emotional happening in God that says, you're going to raise up against one of my children? When the enemy comes against you, and there's a side of God, we are made in his image. And so if we, and our thinking has the effect that our thoughts had this morning when I said, what if we joined up? Take Israel off the mount. Get rid of the nuisance. The world in your workplace, sometimes even in our own family and our friends, you're a nuisance to society because you are enmity against the world when you are in love and hand in hand with God. And so sometimes on the workplace, the enemy would say, I'm going to get rid of this situation. You may even have a family member. I'm going to eliminate this. But oh, can I tell you, somehow, if you can understand the confidence of God, when that happens, your enemy is not more powerful than your God. There is a spiritual boldness that rises up into the kingdom of God that steps up and says, look, you got something else coming. You may have a lot of effect on this situation. But when I get through with you messing around, I'm going to take care of you. We understand our world may have a lot of, we may do a lot of damage to the children of Israel, but he is going to keep his people. He is going to keep them, and they're secure. The world, Hitler tried to annihilate them. The world has tried to eliminate them, but it's not going to happen because they're God's chosen people. The world has tried to eliminate Christianity. It's tried to take you out of the workplace. It is trying real hard to take you out of society. But somehow, can the church understand today, it is not going to happen because you are a child of God. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're called by his name. You are his people when you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that he came to this world to save you. And you allowed that blood to cover you. And he adopted you into his family. And you were buried. And you were born again as spirit, speaking in other tongues, as the spirit moved upon you. You were then a born again child of God. You moved into the lineage. When we were young, I've always been proud of my little eighth of an Indian. It's just been a fun thing. Caused me to run with the Mustangs and just enjoy it. When we were kids, we did what you'd call Indian brothers. Had a couple of my good friends, and we loved that kind of world. Man, we got together one day. We was out behind the barn. We pulled out an old pocket knife, and we slashed our hands. We grabbed hands together and let it set. Became blood brothers. It was a good thought. It was fun. But there was no power in it. There's a whole lot of people who use his name. There's a whole lot of people that embrace some of Christianity. But can I tell you, it's a whole lot different for his people when you become blood-bought, adopted children of God. It's not just slicing a hand and grabbing and let your blood seal together, but you have been embraced into the kingdom of God. He signed his name, and he said, there was a day that I had a people just that was born of my lemon, but I came to save the world, and now the Gentiles come in. And they're adopted to their heirship with Christ. We need to understand the enemy doesn't want you to understand the power of your identity. And it was still that, as the psychologist, the doctor, as she wrote, many circumstances can happen, your disappointment. Some of them can be your own. Some of them are your choices. Some of them are life. But whatever the making, it really doesn't matter. Lost identity is just painful when it happens. It's detrimental to the purpose of the kingdom. it's detrimental to the profitability of your life. The prodigal son, he lost his identity. The children of Israel lost their identity as they came out of Egypt, a children of Israel, but somewhere in the midst of on their way into the Canaan land, they lost their identity. The enemy did not see their loss of identity, but they lost their identity. Because when they came back in and they reported to Moses, the reason you know it wasn't the enemy that lost their identity. They understood these are children of God. Later it proved as they walked into Canaan land and began to take it over. And what they said, we are like grasshoppers. They had lost their identity. Gideon had lost his identity. He didn't lose his identity with God. I'm speaking to some people today that perhaps you've lost your identity, but I just want you, you need to know before this morning's over that you have not lost your identity coming from God. It's your identity flowing from you to God. God's identity of His church never changes. You're the most powerful thing upon the earth. You're His chosen. You are His privileged. You're special to Him. You are the apple of His eye. Gideon said, I'm hiding behind this wine press. God's identity had not changed. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. We need to understand the enemy would like to, the enemy's not just trying to steal your identity in your wallet so he can get your credit cards. I don't care if you've got a $100,000 limit on one. That's nothing. I don't care if you've got millions of dollars in the bank and they can steal your identity and get in your account from your computer and pull your money out. That is nothing compared to your spiritual power and authority and identity as a child of God. All of that can be replaced in a millisecond or less from God. Your job, you lose it. No big deal for God. Your health, you lose it. It's no big deal for God. Your identity, your spiritual identity, that's our choice. That's what changes your eternity. Not God's feeling for you, but your feeling of yourself to God can change your eternity. It can change your destiny. It can change your purpose. It can change the whole life of God saving you for. And so it is important today that somehow I help you to regain your identity and understand that your failures and disappointments, your culture, whatever happened that brought you to thinking of yourself as you are, it's time to get rid of it. It's time to push the reset button on your computer. You know, there's times if you're like me, there's probably some really brains here, some computer whizzes. But for me, when I get some problems, I've got to reach for a higher cause, somebody who kind of way above me, and they go in there and man, they just hit buttons 90 miles an hour and say, "What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this." It doesn't mean a world to me. They can't get down to my level to explain how they just cleaned up my problem. But you know what? It's wonderful when they do. And sometimes spiritually, we'll accept all of that coming from that realm. But spiritually, somehow, we've got to have it explained and understood. But God wants to do some cleanup, some healing, some restoration. You ever lost anything in your computer and somebody else knew what they were doing just found it? I mean, corporations, companies, they've got people just for people like me. So that when I push the wrong button and it disappears, they come in the back door and they don't even have passwords. They're not even supposed to be allowed in that thing. And they show up on the inner rooms. way beyond. And next thing you know, everything's okay. That has nothing on God. Nothing on God. He wants to go into your inner room and wake up your spiritual identity today so that you can understand, man, there's some good stuff happening. It unnerves believers to think of a nation would be siding with those attempting to destroy God's people. It's a spiritual reverence, awareness, and it should. A believer, a sinner who has repented, baptized in the name of Jesus, spoken tongues, and walking in the Spirit of truth makes us born again, as Jesus said, John chapter 3. And it puts you into a position then of being kings and priests according to Revelations 1 and 6 of many places, which then puts you in a position to be a son of God, as Romans 8 and 12 begins, and reading through the next few verses. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14 goes on, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Come on, I'm moving you into an identity. I'm trying. We're in the judge's quarters here. We're behind the bench, and we're in his room. And I'm going to help you through the Word of God to write a few documents that's going to secure in your mind who you are, because it's important. You're not just a Christian. You're not just a Pentecostal. You're not just part of the United Pentecostal Church. You're not just part of a Christian nation. You're not just part of a big blanket effect of people who believe in God. Not if you're born again. Not if you're a child of God. You have his name, and you are kings and priests with him. You are heirs. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what you had before you came into the church. You had a spirit of bondage of fear, where disease should create fear. Disappointment creates fear. Getting fired from your job creates fear. Losing your investment creates fear. Something going on in your home, your children or your spouse creates fear. But when you become a child of God, there should be a breaking of fear in your life. Understanding God no longer is this company my provider, but you are. And if everything goes loose there, then God, you're supplied here. God, if everything happened, you are it. Fear. We have not received the spirit of bondage. Get rid of that bondage. You're a child of God. There is supposed to be liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, his word says there is liberty. Oh, church, you need liberty in your life. If you come in here today and you're lacking liberty because of something going on personally or associate, let me tell you, it's time that you understand. I'm not complete in God. He's got some things that he's trying to fulfill in my life. I'm walking in the Spirit of truth. I don't have it all yet. If I did, I wouldn't be living in this spirit of bondage, but I'd be living in a spirit of liberty. Romans 4 and 13, for the promise that we should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. Heir with Abraham. A father of many nations. Abraham, you're going to have children that will be greater than all the little grains of sand on the earth, on the seashore. Abraham, you're going to have more children than all the stars in the sky. And we are heirs with him through faith. For verse 14 of chapter 4 of Romans, for if they were which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. For the promise of none made none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For there is no law, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all seed, that not to that only which of the law, not only those that are of that blood, not only of those born in, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham.
those adopted. Hey, when you talk about the blood of Jesus covering your sins, when you talk about the healing power of the stripes, when you talk about the resurrection of an open grave and going to take us one day to heaven, it's an heirship through faith, through the righteousness of Abraham, that you are bought into the lineage. Hey, you somehow, church, let it consume us today. When the enemy comes against us, when your neighbor, when your worker, when your boss, when whatever that is, when they're coming against you, kind of should have the, you ever been with somebody and man, they told a lie so big, you were in conversation, you were talking with them, and man, that lie got big. I mean, it got so big you backed away. Anybody else done that? For the sense that that one's so big, lightning might come from heaven. When somebody's doing you wrong, coach, when somebody's not doing you right, I'm going to back away from them and let God fight my battles. I'm going to back away. I don't want to be that close to my enemy to be slugging it out with them. I don't want to be this close trying to do, because I'm a child of God. And Jeremy, because I'm a child of God, that means he's coming down to fight my battle. I'm going to back away, because with the same reverence and the same sensitivity that you had when I said, don't you want to join up with our nation and our enemies and this, get Israel off the map? The same thing that caused you to say, I want to back away from that cause. I don't want to be even part of it. Can I tell you, that's the power that you're associated with. And you know, you need to understand, God's working for you. You're going through a disease. You're going through a trouble. That's okay. I'm just going to back away and let God handle this. You're a child of God, and you're going to say that the enemy, the devil, was able to come against you and overcome all the spirits of heaven, the spirit of the Almighty God, and take authority and take control over your life like that, Brother Jeff? No, not on your life. God's, like it was said earlier, a good parent. He knows what we need. And he knows what he needs to do to populate heaven. And if he thinks I'm worthy to step into that particular ring, not everyone gets to step into the ring with a Mike Tyson or the ring of the Super Bowl or the college championships of March Madness. There's only two teams going to make it. And one of them's going to walk out a champion, and the others are all going home. If God thinks I'm worthy to step in to whatever battle, what a depth of truth. What a confidence. What an assurance. Romans 4:24 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again to righteousness. You and I are sons, we're daughters of Christ, we're the seed of Abraham. We are a chosen people. Once we weren't believers, but now we are. Once we weren't in this lineage, but if you're born again, baptized in his name and filled with his spirit and walking in truth, you're stepped into the lineage. You've got the inheritance. You are an heir. And when the enemy is taking aim on you, God's anger, his protection, his provision is positioning himself on your behalf. I mean, he's positioning himself. It's time for God's people, you and I, to realize my trouble, my sickness situation, it's not my identity, but my armor. What I'm struggling with, what I'm going through, it's not my identity of being defeated in Christ that I've got to endure or go through. It is the armor of Christ that he put on me for a battle. And I am in Christ. and therefore I am Christ. When I am in Christ, disease isn't going to destroy me. When I am in Christ, temptation is not going to destroy me. When I am in Christ, disappointment is not going to destroy me. So therefore, fear loses its power and its threat in your life. And then liberty comes in of the Spirit. What a purpose you were designed for. See, we understand the Scripture, but we have a hard time embracing the fact of Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So sometimes He armors you for special occasions for His purpose. When things are going our way and we can understand and we can see and we have all that figured out, then that is a low level. But then when the high level comes is when we step into a realm that we can't walk in or wade, we're swimming in. In fact, we're so far out there, you got to have a life raft of Christ with you. Then you know that, my Lord, we're in enemy's territory. And God didn't call you to stay in safe zone, but to go in enemy's territory. All through the Bible, you see His children conquering, being called, going out, taking in territory. And as children of God, He calls us and then He sends us. God has always been on His people's side. He's on your side. As I head towards a close, I just want you to understand God is on your side. No matter what's going on, He's on your side. And I want us to receive a piece of that Paul wrote in his word that supersedes. I mean, you've got to go deep. You know, every America's pageant and all these other stuff, they'll ask those people and they'll say, what is it that you really want to see? And they always, what do they say? World peace. What do you really want to see? World peace. Can I tell you, in their mind, in their way of thinking, there will never be world peace. Because as long as the enemy, as long as darkness and light war together, there'll never be world peace. But when God comes into your world, there should become world peace in your world. And the Scripture says it like this: peace that passeth all understanding. Our world, in order for that peace to be, we all have to start thinking alike. We all have to embrace the same thing, the same idea, and then somehow we'll all live peaceful together. But world, unexplainable peace, peace that passes all understanding, is when you step into the things of the Spirit of the Lord and you become one with Him, with His purpose in your life. And Paul penned it like this. He said, I have found, allow me to kind of paraphrase, but he said, I have found in all things to be content. I've been in prison. I've borne the stripes. I've been shipwrecked. I've been at high places. I've been in low. But somehow I've resolved in my relationship with God, as long as I am one with You, I can find an inner peace. World peace is what God wants to give to the church, where you can find somehow the answers to all of the things that you understand and the answers to things you don't understand by simply understanding God knows best. And I've got a purpose. You gave me some marching orders, Lord. This march. I'm not going to wrestle with it. You prepared me. I've been through boot camp. I've been through this training. I've been through that training. And God, you probably got some more training for me to do in order to get to that next one. But when it comes, deep inside of me, I'm going to dig out a sweet assurance of my salvation. Church, you got to have an assurance of your salvation. And until you let an inner peace come into you because of circumstance, I just got to minister in the Holy Ghost. Until you get that inner assurance in your life, when trouble comes your way, you'll question your relationship with God. When certain circumstances happen your way, you will begin to question a lot of stuff with God. You will say, Am I right? Am I really with a choice? Sometimes it will be you. But like the prodigal son, I've been called here today for this last point. And just like the prodigal son in the pig pen, he began to remember home. And he said, if I can just get there and be a servant for my daddy, I'll have a better life. And some of you have developed a servant's mentality. If I can just survive, it'll be okay. But when he got to the Father's house, the Father's mentality was, you're my son. You're still an heir. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've not done. You are my son. And you are an heir to all of the things I've got for you. And somebody here today, you need to receive what I've just spoken. You are an heir to the children of God. You are an heir to the throne of heaven. You are part of the lineage of the children of God. Somebody needs to quit trying to make up for some things. Y'all go ahead and start playing right now. I'm just ministering the altar. I'm just helping. Somebody, you need to quit trying to make up for lost time. You need to quit making up for poor choices. You need to quit making up for your lack of what you feel like is, quote, good enough. You need to quit trying to do God's part. It's not the law, but by His righteousness and your faith, that He wants to anoint some people today in the Holy Ghost. He wants to anoint some people in the Spirit. He wants to give a boldness for a purpose and a cause that you can speak into your home. You can speak into your children. You can speak into your world. You can understand hell might have come against me, but they're in the throne of God. Behind me, beside me, and in front of me is God Almighty, my Father of heaven, and He is in my protection. And He said, fear not, my child. Everything's all right. Fear not, my daughter. Everything's all right. Fear not. Let the liberty of God and have peace in your world. As they sing, and it's Sunday morning, but if you need peace, world peace, if you want world peace, that means when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to find peace. When I wake up in the middle of the night, disturbed, I'm going to step into peace. That means in the circumstance going on, in my physical, my finances, I wake up to the storm. I smell the smoke, but then I step into peace. World peace. If you need world peace, I mean, if you need anything, you can come. These altars are open as we stand. But if you need world peace in your world, would you step down here and on your way somewhere between the last pew and wherever you stop, let world peace lift your hands and receive it this morning. Lift your hands and receive world peace. Oh, yes, Jesus.
If you've had your identity restored, you felt the calling of who you are, I want you to join these circumstances, situations in your life has stolen your assurance of your identity as a child of God. I want you to step down here, and as you step down to the front, I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel like you're in the judge's chamber, and you're going to feel like there's been a fresh signature signed on your adoption papers of Jesus Christ, and with that's going to come, I'm an heir to the things of God. I'm an heir to the purpose of God. I'm an heir to what's going on. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. Hallelujah. Chosen.